Plínio Salgado was the founder of the Brazilian Integralist Action. Before that, he was an author and a journalist. In 1932, he wrote his October Manifesto, which is what we will be going over in this video. Much like in Spain and elsewhere, there was a right-wing revolt in Brazil in the 1930s, which led one Getúlio Vargas to take control and become the president. Salgado initially supported Vargas, but still desired integralism to be the guiding way for Brazil, rather than Vargas's right-wing authoritarianism. So Salgado set plans to run for president, but was quickly shut down by Vargas, who had outlawed integralism altogether. In a last-ditch effort, a small band of armed integralists attacked the Guanabara Palace, which is the estate of the president. They attacked in the middle of the night, thus called the Pajama Putsch, because Vargas, woken from his sleep, led the security forces in his pajamas. In the end, there were around 20 casualties, and the integralists had failed their attempt at a violent overthrow. Salgado was placed in prison and later exiled to Portugal for 6 years. While exiled, he made attempts to get back in the good graces of the Vargas government, even by praising Vargas's decision to enter World War II on the side of the Allies, which was quite a turn for Salgado because he was a fervent admirer of Mussolini's Italy. After the war, Salgado would return to Brazil and create the Party of Popular Representation, which kept a lot of the core beliefs of Brazilian integralism, but removed the fascist aesthetics, the mentality, and the fanaticism. Essentially, he dulled his once sharp sword. In 1954, Vargas would end up committing suicide after he lost control of the government, having his last words from a suicide note read on the radio that night. The famous last lines read, "Serenely, I take my first step on the road to eternity. I leave life to enter history." A year later, Salgado would run for president, but only garner around 8% of the vote, which would be around 714,000 votes. It is estimated at its height, the Brazilian integralist numbered anywhere from 50,000 to 1.5 million active members. Today, they exist mainly as a thought more than a party with an insubstantial amount of membership. After a long life in politics, mainly serving on the Brazilian Congress, Salgado would die in 1975 at the age of 80. This is his contribution to history, the Manifesto of the Brazilian Integralist Action. Manifesto of October 7, 1932, translation by H.R. Morgan. Conception of man and the universe. God directs the destinies of people. Man must practice on earth the virtues that elevate and perfect. The man is worthy of his work. He sacrifices in favor of the family, of the fatherland, and of society. Worth at study, by intelligence, for honesty, for progress, in the sciences, in the arts, in technical ability, having finally the welfare of the nation and the moral elevamento of the people. Wealth is a well passenger who did not serve anyone, provided they are not complied with by the holder's duties which strictly enforces to society and country. Everyone can and should live in harmony, respecting and cherishing others, each of which distinguish themselves in their skill, because each man has his own vocation and is the set of those vocations that realizes the greatness of nationality and social happiness. Men and classes, therefore, can and should live in harmony. It is possible for the more modest worker climb to a high intellectual or financial position. Each should rise according to their career or their calling. All men are liable to social harmonization, and whole superiority comes from a superiority that exists only above men. Their common and supernatural purpose, it is deeply believed Brazil has a historical Christian roots which are intimate to all our hearts. So that is a common theme we see with third position ideology, is each should rise according to their career or their calling. The classes still existing. usually a demonization of third position politics, is to simplify the ideology by just simply calling it socialism, when that is not true. What it does is shorten the gap between the classes. What it does is give the true merit-based system, where men are judged on results rather than income or social standing, as we understand the Brazilian nation. The Brazilian nation must be organized, united, indivisible, strong, powerful, rich, prosperous, and happy. For this, we need for all Brazilians to be united. But Brazil cannot achieve an intimate and perfect union of their children as long as there are states within a state, political parties that divide the nation, fighting classes, isolated individuals, exercising personal action in government decisions. So when you have this fractured society, like they're saying, they're fighting, there's a state within a state, you know, people who are living for their own benefit over that of the nation, the political parties, the fighting between the right and the left, dividing the people, class warfare, isolated individuals exercising personal action in government decisions. We are rife with that in modern day America. The further fractions the Brazilian people, therefore the nation needs to organize itself into a professional classes. Each Brazilian should enter in their class. Their class shall elect, within their own sphere, its representatives in the municipal councils, provincial congress, and general meetings. Those elected to municipal councils elect its president and the mayor. Those elected to the provincial congress shall elect the governor of their province. Those elected to the national congress elect the head of the nation, before which their ministers shall respond with an uninfluenced choice. So they're breaking down their method of electoral power, where people from classes, it's like most third position beliefs, it's a nationalist syndicalist format. Many of these syndicalist formats differ here and there, and as does in Brazil. And the leader is chosen from the Congress. So, rightfully showing no faith in mass democracy, which becomes a contest between snake oil salesmen, but more so of an informed minority vote. The principle of authority. A nation to prosper in peace, to see its efforts bear fruit for achieving prestige both within and abroad, needs to be fully aware of the principle of authority. We need authority able to take initiatives to the benefit of each and everyone, to not allow for the de facto rulership by the rich, the powerful, the foreigners, the political groups, prevents them from exerting influence on the government decisions, undermine the fundamental interest of the nation. We need hierarchy, discipline, without which there will be disorder. Now remember, this is loosely translated from H.R. Morgan, so it doesn't always flow so easily when reading it, and it probably will not be the most accurate translation, but I think enough of a general sense of the ideology comes through that it's worthwhile for putting out there for the English-speaking public, as there's so little on Brazilian integralism in English. A government that comes out of the free will of all classes is representative of fatherland. As such, it should be supported, respected, esteemed, prestigious. Upon it must rest the trust of the people. It should provide with the means to maintain social justice, harmony of all classes, and it must always seek the best interest of the collectivity. Trusted hierarchy, order, peace, respect. Here's what we need in Brazil. So once again, third position accepts that there's always going to be a hierarchy in man, which there always is. Our nationalism. The cosmopolitanism, i.e. foreign influence, is an evil which is the death for our nationalism and our nation. It is our duty to combat it. But this does not mean a policy of bad will towards the friendly nations. or to the children of other countries, who work here aiming towards the advancement of the Brazilian nation and whose descendants are integrated into the lives of the Brazilian people. So essentially he's saying they're not talking about citizens of Brazil who may be relatively new, but, you know, working class. They're talking about foreign influence from international finance. We refer to the customs, which are rooted mainly in our bourgeoisie, and in this current civilization, having been brought here from Europe and the United States, our homes are impregnated with foreign landlords. Our lectors, our way of looking at life, are no longer. The Brazilians of the cities don't know of the thinkers, writers, national poets. They try to shame the caboclo, their Indians there, and the blacks of our land. They have acquired cosmopolitan habits. They don't know of all the difficulties and all the heroics, all the suffering and all the aspirations, the dreams, the energy, the courage of the Brazilian people. It is covered over by ironies to belittle the races. Live to enhance all that is outside, despising all national initiatives, having given us an inadequate political regime. They prefer to blame the disasters of the country, blaming the Brazilian people, rather than to admit that the regime is incapable and incompetent, skeptical, delusioned, weary of pleasure. All who speak these powerful words, or those great and petty bourgeoisie, distilling a poison that erodes the soul of the youth, creating ethnic prejudices originating from countries that want to dominate us, despising all our traditions, and seeking to inculcate and spread the immorality of manners. We are against the pernicious influence of pseudo-civilization. And we are against the influence of communism, representing the Soviet Russian imperialism, capitalism, which aims to reduce us to a dominion. Thus arises a great nationalist movement to affirm the value of Brazil and of everything that is useful and beautiful in character and in Brazilian customs, to unite all Brazilians in one spirit, the Amazon, the Northeast, the backcountry of the northern and central provinces, the cowboys, cattlemen, drovers of mines, settlers, ranchers, aggregates, small craftsmen of Sao Paulo, the working class of all regions, the youth of the schools, traders, industrialists, farmers, teachers, artists, officials, doctors, lawyers, engineers, workers of all railways, the soldiers, the sailors, all who still have at heart their greatest love and enthusiasm for Brazil. We must rely on our glorious traditions. We must affirm as a people, united and strong, that nothing can divide us. Nationalism, for us, is not only the cult of flag and national anthem, is the deep awareness of our needs of character, of the trends, of the aspirations of the fatherland, and of the value of a people. This is a great campaign we undertake. So very similar to America, I would say. You have this cosmopolitan elite propping up cities like tumors, causing friction between the classes and the races, ridiculing the traditions, and changing their way of life. We, the parties and the government, we, Brazilians from all provinces, propose to create a culture, a civilization, a genuinely Brazilian way of life. We want to create a public right, according to our realities and aspirations, a government that guarantees the unity of all provinces, the harmony of all classes, the initiatives of all individuals, and the supervision of the state and national construction. Therefore, our ideal does not allow us to enter into collusion with regional parties. You may recognize these parties, but we recognize the nation. We can foresee and organize Brazil without the evil of selfish partisanship, a Brazilian state that represents and expresses all of the classes, steering the nation through the wisdom and guidance of its elites. We will not rest, we will actively pursue this end. Our homeland can no longer be dissected by the governors of states, by the parties, by classes and struggle, by the warlords. Our country needs to be unified and strong, solidly built, in order to escape foreign domination, which is a daily threat, and save ourselves from the international communism that invades the national and social body like a cancer. Therefore, we do not collaborate with any party organization which aims to divide Brazilians. We repeat the phrase from the legendary Osorio when he was writing of the fields of Paraguay, saying it did not recognize parties because they divided the nation, which must be cohesive in their time of peril. We swear today a unified fidelity, a fidelity to the fate of this generation. Those who are intellectually capable of doing so should execute the will of our political thought, or else we, Brazilian integralists, will spontaneously declare ourselves outcasts, decrying openly the phony political life of the nation, until the day comes when we have the numbers so large that we will restore our rights of citizenship. And by the strength of that number, we can conquer the power of the Republic. So we march onward into the future, and nothing will stop us, because with us marches the consciousness of the nation and the honor of Brazil. What we think of conspiracies and politicking of groups and factions. We are enemies of all conspiracies, of all the plots, the de facto power brokers, and insurrections. Our campaign is cultural, moral, educational, social, without prevarications and concealing distractions, with our heads held high and demonstrating our principles in the light of day. Those who exhibit their principles have no need to conspire and combine with the parties of darkness. Those who march on behalf of the clear and well-defined ideas have no need for masks. Our homeland is miserably cut apart by conspiracies. Politicians and governments deal with the special interest groups, and thusly they conspire together. We preach loyalty, frankness, freedom of speech, openness of opinion and discussion and debate in the realm of ideas. So when integrity is a part of the makeup of the politics of the people, there's no reason to hide stuff. There's no reason to hide your motive. I mean, it's out there and it's clear. The criminalistic politicians are dismantling the character of the Brazilian people. The lack of appropriately effective programs revolve around the people and the military due to the incompetent government. All of its programs are the same, and these men are out of contact for reasons of personal and group interests. Therefore, some plot against each other, and meanwhile, the communists plot against all. We preach honesty and courage. We are united by the belief in Brazil, in the family, in private property, by the desire for the organization and legitimate representation of the classes, by religious morality, believing in the direct participation of the intellectuals in the government of the Republic, by the abolition of the pseudo-states within the state, for a beneficiary policy of Brazil in South America, by a nationalist campaign against the influence of imperialist countries. We are the revolution that is on the march, but we are the revolution with ideas, honest, loyal, and courageous. The social question as regards Brazilian integralism. The social question should be resolved by cooperation of all, as the desire for justice that each nourishes and wishes to progress and improve. Also fundamental in third position thought. The right to property is fundamental to us when considered in its natural and personal character. Capitalism today works against this law based like some uncontrolled individualism and upon the physiognomy of the liberal democratic economic system. We must adopt new regulatory processes for production and trade so that the government can avoid the imbalances which are harmful to social stability. Communism is not a solution because it is based on the same fundamental principles of capitalism, with the aggravating factor of consolidating many bosses into a single entity to enslave the working class to a minority of cruel officials, all of whom who are recruited by the remaining or surviving bourgeoisie. Communism destroys the family to better enslave the worker to the state, destroys the human personality to better enslave the man in a materialistically obscene collective, destroys religion to better enslave the human being to the baser human instincts, destroys the initiative of each, kills the stimulus, sacrifices humanity for a contrived fantasy, falsely promising scientific conduct as soon as possible, that is, in about 200 years at least. We wish to give to the worker, the farmer, the soldier, the sailor, is the possibility to upload as your vocation and your righteous desires. We want to empower everyone to raise themselves by their qualities, by work and consistent efforts to a better position, both in their class and outside it, and even in the government of the nation. Now, once again, you'll look at every third position political philosophy discussed on this channel, and you'll see that is universal with third position. The desire to create an environment where man can constantly climb, improve, and advance. We don't teach the worker the doctrine of cowardice, of disillusion, hatred, the resignation like communism and anarchy, the doctrine of submission, the unavoidability of ostracism and complying with the dictates of politicians, as does liberal democracy. We teach the doctrine of courage, of hope, of love of country, of duty to society, the ability to achieve a beautiful life, the ambitions of progress, of owing assets, of elevation, to raise a family. We do not destroy the person, such as communism. Neither do we abuse the person, as liberal democracy does. We want labor classes to exist with guaranteed salaries commensurate with their needs and interest and profits according to the effort and ability of heads held high in the taking part in the studies of matters that concern them, watching and enthusiastic like free men, taking part in decisions of government as a superior human entity. We must be finished with the regionalism. We must organize the nation, with employees participating in government through their legitimate representatives, with fair oversight exercised by the state on all producing activities through integralism. The doors will be open to all who can demonstrate abilities. The organized classes will ensure to their members collective contracts and shall ensure the needs of work or production to each, in order to no longer submit, as has hitherto been the practice, those who are unemployed to the humiliations of applications for by those who seek employment, so often greeted with contempt, by which is causes of righteous revolts. We must rid the workmen and the petty bourgeoisie of the criminal indifference of liberal governments. We must save them from the bondage of communism. We shall transfigure the worker, hero of the new fatherland, in the superior man, illuminated by the noble ideas of moral, intellectual, and material elevation. These are our purposes. The state shall be for the protection of all, the family and the nation. So great is the importance we give to the producing classes and workers as we so give to the family. It is the basis of happiness on earth, the only possible ventures. What is the happiness of man? These tiny things, so soft, so simple, the stroking of a mother, a father's word, the tenderness of a wife, the affection of a son, the embrace of a brother, the dedication of relatives and friends. Such solidarity in misfortune, illness, death, no state in its bureaucratic or legal expression can ever give at any time. Communion in the joys, triumphs, struggles, the comfort of every moment, every day, stimulates hopes of perpetuity in blood and affectionate remembrance. This is what the family is, the perpetual source of spiritual and renewal, while at the same time it is the projection of the human personality. The current state takes the family away from the man, treating them as animals. By making him play their games, they make him into an automation that is both unhappy in his demoted status from having once been a person in a superior condition, What affection, comfort, and consolation may the state give to the economic entity in those times of great afflictions or at that time of death? Who just will animate such people in times of sorrow? Such lack of human worth will be as inevitable in a regime of communist bureaucracy as in any other regime. At the supreme moment, not enough science, public life, social life, collective life, selfish individualism, the soul of the man is in his life's concerns, and we say that this is not the language of compassion spoken by a stranger, or a formalized philanthropy, nor official support, nor an absurd socialization of affections, but the deep language of affinities that has at length been stimulated and fed. The man can't turn into a bee or a termite. Man is not a vermin. The state should be strong enough to maintain and uphold the integrity of the man and his family, because it is in the family that the virtues originate from which consolidate the state. The state may be considered as a big family, made up of unified sets of families. With this character is that he has the authority to map out, set the course for, and direct the nation. With the law being based upon the family, it is the duty of the state to carry out social justice, representing the producing classes. We intend in this grave hour for the Brazilian family to enlist your defense in our program. Is to defend the family or the worker, of the merchant, industrialist, of the farmer, the agricultural economist, the physician, the pharmacist, the lawyer, the engineer, the magistrate, the scientist, the artist, the teacher, the official, the soldier, and the sailor, against disorganization, prostitution, and ruin. We want the strong state to be based on the living forces of the nation, the municipality, center of the families, the nation's cell. The municipality is a meeting of families, the man and the woman as professionals, as agents of progress and production, should apply to their respective trade classes in order that they are supported on the occasions of diseases and unemployment. That way, those who work and produce are guaranteed by their own trade class and do not need to depend on favors from political bosses, warlords, or local directors, or local directories of canvassing. It is the only way to achieve free and conscious voting. The trade classes elect their representatives to the councils, as we said, and they elect their president and mayor. The municipalities must be autonomous in all respects as to their particular interest, because the municipality is a meeting of residents who aspire to well-being and progress. Administrative morality can be inspected or monitored by their own trade classes, because what determined the demoralization of city councils in the liberal system was the political support with local political bosses who gave their own personal orders to the leaders of state policy. When the parties are extinct, the municipal government will rest on the willingness of the classes. With these, no strange influence can be exerted, because everyone feels supported by the class to which they belong. There will be no way of imposing political persecution, because the local government will be free of injunctions of men who, living out of town, interfere in community affairs, as has heretofore been the common practice. The municipality, therefore, is the headquarters of families and of classes, which will be administered with honesty, will be autonomous, and will be directly linked to the national designs. The integralist state. We intend to create the integralist state, which is free of any dividing principle, political parties, in the struggle for hegemony, class struggles, local factions, sectional leaders, disorganized economy, antagonism between military and civilians, antagonism between state militias and the army, between the government and the people, between the government and the intelligentsia. We intend to run the classic powers, executive, legislative, and judiciary, according to the nation's tax package, with bases in their classes, in the municipality, and in the family. We intend to create the supreme authority of the nation. We intend to mobilize all the technical capabilities, all the scientists, all the artists, all the professionals, each acting in their particular sphere, so as to realize the greatness of the Brazilian nation. very technocratic society. Once again, common theme amongst third position philosophy. We intend to take, as the basis of our great nation, the man himself from our land in its historical reality, geographical, economical, in its nature, its character, its aspirations, studying it profoundly as science and morals. This biological and psychological element will conduct social relations with safe standards of law, education, economic policy, all on the basis of legality. As the dome of this building, we will perform the supreme idea, the synthesis of our civilization, on philosophy, literature, the arts, who shall signify the direction of our national and human spirit. We intend to create with all the racial elements according to the economic imperatives of the Brazilian nation, saving it from errors of capitalist civilization and the errors of communist barbarism. To create a single expression, the economic state, the state finances, the representative state, and the cultural state. We intend to raise Brazilian populations in an unprecedented united force never before reached, a hope ever imagined. We intend to lay the foundations of an educational system to guarantee the subsistence of the nation in the future. We increase enthusiasm to tear away from the disbelief, apathy, skepticism, and the sadness in which they live, to teach them the lessons of courage, instilling within them a certainty of the value that each has inside himself, the confidence as a son of Brazil. We will move the masses in a great affirmation of rejuvenation, to shake the fibers of the fatherland, to pry it from its depression, its dismay, its bitterness, to move forward, giving beginning to the new civilization, which, by our strength, our courage, and our faith, shall make from Brazil, ignite our continent, and influence the world. To do this, we will fight the disenchanted, the unbelievers, because at this time we do not rest for a moment, until we die or win, because with us will die or win a homeland. These are the directions of our march. Thus ends the Brazilian Integralist Manifesto. Suggested readings is Fascism, Integralism, and the Corporative Society, Codex Fascismo, Parts 4, 5, and 6 by H.R. Morgan. So once again, it doesn't matter where the third position pops up. Matters not. It's always the same. Based off the idea that a unified man who individually is encouraged to seek the peak of his capability, that a people like that, who are also directed towards shared societal goals, can achieve the unimaginable. Unfortunately, there's a lot of powerful people that do not want that.
Avanti, avanti, Bye.